Good morning. It is Sunday, April 21st, 2013. This is Weekend Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas.
I'm Kyle Kellums. AETN, Fayetteville Public Library, and KUAF invite the public to a free screening of The Island President as part of community cinema this afternoon at 2 at the Fayetteville Public Library. In this film, Maldives President Mohamed Nasheed confronts the problem of survival as his country and everyone in it could be erased from the map. Following the film this afternoon, KUAF's Katie Hendrickson will moderate a panel discussion about the topic. AETN.org/community cinema for more information.
We'll hear more from Katie about this afternoon's film and discussion later on the show. Also on Weekend Ozarks, Hat Ladies. Red Hat Ladies, to be specific, beauty professionals, and the 15th annual Race for the Cure.
But first, car parking, bike trains, and airplanes. Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis has more in this morning's Week in Review.
Time. It's always ticking down, and there's hardly ever enough of it to go around. We bring you many stories throughout the week, but sometimes there's not enough time to bring you all the moving pieces of a story. For instance, earlier this week, we told you that the Fayetteville City Council awarded a construction management services contract for the Entertainment District parking deck project. The contract, awarded to Baldwin and Shell Construction Company of Rogers, set compensation at 5.5%. But one thing we didn't tell you is that the city agreed to pay legal fees associated with the project that occur between the contractor and actions related to actual completion of the work. David Juergens, the city's manager of the project, explains that the legal fees provision of the contract isn't necessarily as bad as it sounds.
So, for example, if there is a dispute between a subcontractor and the construction manager, that would be part of this project cost. That's actually not a bad thing. Actually, it's a good thing because one of the biggest benefits of this type of construction method is that a typical design bid build where we take low bids and award a contract is much more of an adversarial type relationship between the city and the contractor. This is a much more team-oriented type of relationship between the two, and therefore you end up getting better products at a better cost most of the time.
Although the project hasn't yet been let out for subcontractors' bids, the 246-space parking deck has an estimated cost of about $6.1 million, or about $24,800 per parking space. Juergens says that the project is being paid for through the fairest means possible.
Some folks don't understand where it's getting paid from. We've borrowed bonds from the parking deck fund. So the Entertainment District parking deck is being paid for entirely through user fees from people that actually park in the Entertainment District and Downtown Districts of Fayetteville. So it's not a tax. It's not something that normal people, everybody else who don't park down there are paying. It's being paid by those people who use the parking facilities in that area, which kind of makes sense. It's the most fair way to pay for anything. And those people that receive the benefit of this work, who have more places to park, who have covered parking in the deck, they're the ones that are actually paying for the construction of the deck.
He says that it will take about 20 years to pay off the bonds issued for the project. This week, we also told you about bike trains coming to some Bentonville elementary and middle schools. The program got its start after the group Bike Bentonville received a $50,000 grant last year from the National Center for Safe Routes to School organization. Kyla Templeton is with Bike Bentonville, and she says that about 30 students participated in the two bike trains that began Monday, and more bike trains started throughout the week. But with more students on bikes comes concerns about safety. Templeton says that the trains do travel along some busy streets.
On Day Street, one of the trains starts at Tiger and then meets up with more kids at Orchard Park and then goes down to Central. And so that train will also go down Central. They're riding on the sidewalk, so that's a good thing. We have a nice wide sidewalk on Central now. Day and Central are some of the main busy streets. Another one of the bike trains will come up A Street, north of Tiger, riding on the sidewalk again, and then kind of weave around Bella Vista Road and Fifth Street.
While the trains do follow some heavily traveled corridors, Templeton says that safety has been a concern from the beginning.
The number one concern with parents was the amount of traffic and the speed of the traffic. So the amount of traffic we can't really do a lot about, but we can do something about the speed of the traffic. So we want people to slow down and be aware that there will be kids out riding their bikes. We put up signs along the route so that motorists will know where the kids are going to be riding, and so that should help them to be aware that that's going to be there.
But bike trains aren't entirely new in the Bentonville school system. According to a press release from Bike Bentonville, physical education teachers from Brightfield Elementary began a twice-a-week bike train in February. This week, we also brought you a story about the 11th annual Take Back the Night event, which took place Friday evening in downtown Fayetteville. The event is held each year by the Pat Walker Health Center's Star Central Office and Respect Peer Advisory Groups. Dr. Mary Wyanth Hebert is the director of both groups at the University of Arkansas. While the march and associated speeches have been part of the event's program for several years, another visible part of the event began only a few years ago.
I think this is maybe the fourth year for the Fourth Flag Project. And basically, it was something that we could do in place of, we used to do a campus clothesline project every year that would be up during the Take Back the Night march, but we always ran into the problem that inevitably, it always rains on our parade, literally. The t-shirts always got wet and everything, so we're trying to think of a way that we could convey a message that it didn't matter if it was exposed to the elements and if it got wet.
So students came up with the idea of placing flags on the Arkansas Union Mall, one for every fourth female student at the university.
Where we get the one in four is that nationally, when you look at studies that look at victimization of college women in particular, consistently the number one in four college women are sexually assaulted within the 4 years on average that they're in college. And again, that's a stat that's been out there for 3.5 decades, and we haven't seen a change in that. And so with the Fourth Flag Project, it's a way of bringing about awareness of just what a great magnitude that is just on our campus alone.
This year, Wyanth Hebert says that 3,049 flags are placed on the Union Mall, representing one-fourth of last fall's female enrollment numbers at the university. She says that the flags remain in place for 1 week to remind people of the sobering statistic. And finally, earlier in the week, we brought you a story about attempts by the Northwest Arkansas Regional Airport to court another low-cost carrier to the airport. Scott Van Lenningham is the executive director of XNA. He says that enticing a low-cost carrier is no easy task. It took 2 years alone of negotiations to get Allegiant to service XNA, and airport officials had to tailor its gate fees and other terms specifically for Allegiant to cater to the carrier's 2 to 3 day-a-week schedule at the airport. But aside from tough negotiations, Van Lanningham says that XNA isn't alone in its search for low-cost carriers.
There are airports throughout the country that are going through the same thing. And so we're in competition with airports all over the country. There are a limited number of the low-cost carriers. There are only 6 of them, actually.
But Van Lanningham says that courting a low-cost carrier is only half of the battle. The other half lies in convincing air travelers to actually fly on the low-cost airlines once they start flying out of Bentonville.
You get a low-cost carrier in, let's say, on a daily basis to Chicago or Atlanta. The existing carriers will lower their fares to compete with the low-cost carrier. And what often happens, and this is a real danger for us because we're such a high business travel market, is the people that are used to the frequent flyer programs will want to stay on the existing carriers, and the low-cost carrier, believe it or not, ends up with empty seats. So first thing we got to do is try and get somebody in here, but then educate people. You've got to break yourself from the frequent flyer programs and use the low-cost carrier.
He says that when another low-cost carrier introduces more competition into a market, ticket prices tend to drop anywhere from $40 to $140. To borrow from Paul Harvey.
And now you know the rest of the story.
From the Herald and Blanche Kalk News Studio, I'm Timothy Dennis, and this is Weekend Ozarks at Large.
Okay, here are our first notes. Ready? One, two, ready, sing.
Clean up the earth till it shines like new. Clean up the earth till it shines like new. Clean up the earth till it shines like new. That's what we'll do, my darlings.
Cans on the highway, someone threw.
Cans on the highway, someone threw.
The singing club at Leverett Elementary in Fayetteville, led by Bernice Hembry of Three Penny Acre. practices a special version of Skip to My Lou. It's in preparation for an Earth Day concert on Earth Day, Monday, April 22nd. Festivities will be held at the Global Campus on the Fayetteville Square that evening and are organized by the Omni Center. Donna Sterna, with the Omni Center, says this year's celebration is a bit different from those held in years past.
We've done things down in the Rose Garden in conjunction with Spring Fest a lot, and so those were family-oriented, but everybody-oriented. But this one is kind of a family affair. We're encouraging families and everybody just to come out and be part of this.
Toucan Jam, a popular local children's show, along with Papa Rap and Emily Cates and Friends, will also perform. But the highlight is the children, and of course, Mother Earth.
I think Earth Day, and Omni thinks it is Peace, Justice, and Ecology is part of Omni's threefold thing. And taking care of our Earth, I think, is one of the biggest priorities right now. And I think that children love to be part of that. And Earth Day's one of the holidays that needs to be celebrated.
Children from 10 area schools have come together through their art classes to write over 1,000 letters to President Obama about why every day should be Earth Day. The letters will be on display Monday night.
And everyone was one of a kind and different, from everything from Save the Wolves with pictures of wolves to I Love the Moon and we need moonlight. Just really charming. I hope everybody comes out and sees this exhibit. It's going to be really special.
Liliana Gomez is a fifth grade member of the singing club. She says art class has been her main source for Earth Day education.
Well, right now we're learning about the westward expansion, not much about Earth Day, but in art we are a lot. We wrote a letter to the president saying that we should make Earth Day every day. And we draw a picture.
Yeah.
Give it to him.
Why is that important?
Because if people keep throwing trash on the ground, we can kill the environment and we can lose our Earth quicker than we know it.
Liliana has fun in singing club and says it's like a family when they sing together. Scout, a younger boy, is a member too. He likes to sing in the car with his sister and to recycle.
We just like taking songs from TV shows and shows and singing them again, like in our own words.
So you like to make up your own words about things?
Yeah.
What about recycling and stuff? Is that something that you do at home?
Yeah, we recycle a lot. Like, we recycle, like, everything we can. And we don't really, we throw away, like stuff we can't recycle, like other things.
Are you excited to sing on Earth Day?
Yes.
The singing club will be joined on Earth Day by the Ukulele Club for a special version of This Land Is Your Land. Omni Center's Concert for the Earth on Earth Day, Monday, April 22nd, is from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Global Campus on the Fayetteville Square. It will feature the Leverett Elementary Singing and Ukulele Clubs. This event is free for kids, $5 for adults. Everyone is welcome. This is Ozarks at Large.
All around the countryside, that little creature sneezes till it makes them weak, they cannot hide. Smog from the diesel.
There will be more running later this month when the 15th annual Ozark Komen Race for the Cure sends thousands of people around the Pinnacle Hills Promenade Mall in Rogers. That takes place on Saturday, the 27th. Already, nearly 6,000 participants have registered. Lauren Marquette, the director of Mission Services for Komen Ozark, says there have been changes for the event since it began 15 years ago.
We started at the Northwest Arkansas Mall, and so now we've really just outgrown that area and had to go to the Pinnacle Hills Promenade Mall, and we're very thankful for the City of Rogers and every thing that, you know, the police officers and stuff do. And we've got a 10K now. That was different. It used to just be, you know, 5K walk. And we also have competitive 5K. We have Kids for the Cure area. We've got Bark for the Cure now.
Bark for the Cure? So dogs?
Yes. And it is my favorite part of the race. I mean, before I started working at Komen, I would always bring my dogs there every year. So much stuff. But Sleeping for the Cure. You don't have to show up. You just sign up. Yeah. They mail you your shirt. It's perfect.
Yes. How many people do you expect?
That's a good question.
It seems like every year there are more people.
Yeah. Last year we had a little over 12,000. And we would love to, you know, increase that as much as we can, because the more people we have and the more money's raised, the more we can give out locally. So, and that's one big thing, is that in the 15 years that we've been here, we've given out over $8 million to local organizations. So that's, you know, local women, local, some men, but families being helped by this money. So
$8 million.
And we've given over $2 million for research. So there's a lot there has been some research money come back into Arkansas through UAMS, and just finding a cure for, and it's also like different treatments and what treatment responds to what. So it's kind of the gamut of, you know, different research protocols. So
how will the promenade be set up? I mean, where's the course? Where are the dogs?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Never the twain shall meet, perhaps?
Yes, good question. We try to keep, you know, them off their little
right.
area. But the morning of, we'll have a survivor breakfast, and that's going to be in the food court. And the race and everything is kicked off. The 5K race is kicked off with the survivor parade going up to the stage. The starting line for the 10K, the 5K, it will all be kind of right around that back parking lot of the food court where it was last year. The course hasn't changed. Bark for the Cure course is going to be in front of PetSmart, and the course has changed because we heard from a lot of people they wanted a longer walk with their dogs. So that course has changed a little bit. And there's a lot of fun new things at Bark for the Cure, too. They're going to have a dog photo booth, which I think is hilarious. And they're going to have, I think, some agility drills that they're going to be doing beforehand. But then the Kids for the Cure area is in the middle of the concourse, and then all the vendors will be right in the middle.
5Ks and 10Ks are generally on Saturday mornings, and there's kind of an upbeat atmosphere anyway. But this one seems to have times five.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And it's, you know, it's funny because every year I go in, I'm not a crier at all. Like, I'm not a big crier person. But we go in, and you just see all these amazing survivors, and you hear their stories, and you see pictures of people that have been lost to breast cancer, and, you know, someone's mother or someone's grandmother or sister. And it's just, you know, it's very bittersweet. It's you're so amazed by these women who are walking and strong and are survivors, and, you know, they've just finished treatment or they're still in treatment. And it's a very hopeful, it's one of the most hopeful times, I think, in Northwest Arkansas, because we come together to work on helping women, making sure they're getting breast health services, and also finding a cure, that we're hopeful that that's going to happen with our participation, our monies.
How many volunteers do you have?
We have, you know, the University of Arkansas Volunteer Action Center. They actually plan all of our volunteers. And so if anyone's interested in volunteering, you can go to their website. And we have, off the top of my head, we probably have 300 plus volunteers. And, you know, this event pretty much is solely run on volunteers. You know, it's a race chair, race course director, race ops, all of our chairs for everything are just volunteers who love our mission and have gotten involved. So it's pretty much, I mean, us as staff give a little bit of support, but it's pretty much a volunteer run organization. So
I have not been to all 15. Sometimes I'm out of town, but the ones I've been to have had sparkling weather.
Mm-hmm.
Has that been the case most of the years?
For the most part, yeah. And this year it will be. It's going to be beautiful.
Okay.
I'm going on the record now saying that.
What's the t-shirt look like this year?
It's really cute. It has the word inspire up front. Not sure if I'm supposed to be telling you all this, so this is breaking news.
Okay.
I'm sure it's fine. But that's what they get for putting me on the radio. So. But it says inspire on the front, and it's kind of got pink swirlies. And so, you know, it's all pink all the time here at Komen. So I even wore my pink pants today. It's radio. You can't tell. But
well, Laura Marquette is an expert weather predictor and lousy T-shirt secret keeper.
I am.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Lauren Marquette is the Director of Mission Services with the Komen Ozark Office. You can learn more about the upcoming Race for the Cure, the 15th annual, on April 27th at KomenOzark.org. You can also find them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest.
Good morning. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas, and joining me now is Katie Henriksen. Throughout the week, she's host of Note, and on Sundays, the host of Sunday Symphony. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
And we've got two works I've got programmed for tonight's Sunday Symphony. One is Arvo Pärt's Passio, and the other is Rachmaninoff's Symphonic Dances, which I actually think I have programmed on the Sunday Symphony before. It's just a really nice symphonic suite that goes, it's just a nice thing to listen to, I guess you say.
Well, I know the Arkansas Philharmonic Orchestra played Rachmaninoff's Piano Concerto
Number two
last night.
Mm-hmm.
So that's familiar, because I know we had Stephen Bias on the show on Friday, so...
Yes, I played Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto on Fridays of Note, actually,
okay.
as well. So
All right.
it's one of the most recognizable pieces, at least for me. I grew up in a family of pianists, so I heard that concerto a lot.
Yeah, but this is his symphony.
This is just symphonic dances. So
okay.
It's three movements, and it's a performance from the North German Radio Symphony Orchestra. So it's not one of his full on symphonies. It's symphonic dances. It's in three movements instead of usually four movements is what the standard is. But it doesn't have to be. Symphonies don't have to be four movements, but.
And the other piece, so, is something I've never heard of.
Yeah, Arvo Pärt, he's an Estonian composer, 20th century and now 21st century, still active right now. He's a composer who has been obsessed with chant music and medieval chant music, and so he does a lot of choral music. And of all the composers that I play, I like to play a little bit of everything on Of Note, but the composer I probably get the most questions about is Arvo Pärt. He's not as familiar to some people. People really fall in love with his choral work, because I know at one point when the last Arvo Pärt piece I played, someone called up at the station and was like asking if this was like, they thought it was like a medieval chorus, and it turned out to be 20th century, but that's very apparent in his style that
okay.
he loves medieval chant music. And he actually came up with a composition technique called tintabule. It's a two-voice technique, basically,
okay.
where there's two voices that pair, and basically, in his own words, he says it becomes one. He says it's the mathematically exact connection from one line to another. It's the rule where the melody and the accompanying voice is one. One plus one is one. It is not two. This is the secret of the technique. That's what he says in one of his liner notes to a recording of his Passio. So
okay.
Anyway.
so if listeners have heard it on your show of Note throughout the week, they can hear an extended. Well,
yeah. So Arvo Pärt has he has a lot of recordings and a lot of works, and some of them are shorter, and there are pieces that I can play in their entirety on Of Note. He has like 15-minute works or 40-minute works, and I've played those. But this work itself, Passio, is around 70 minutes. So it's something that I wouldn't be able to play in Of Note, and is the kind of music that is exactly what we want to program on the Sunday Symphony, because we have that two-hour space where we can put in larger works of music.
Okay. So Rachmaninoff, a Russian 20th century.
Yeah, he spent, I mean, he
He was
born,
at the turn of the century.
He worked in both the 19th and 20th mm-hmm. centuries.
And then Estonian.
Arvo Pärt.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's still current.
He's still current.
He's
this the Passio was composed in the early 80s, from 1980 to 1983.
All right. Okay, well, that's on Sunday Symphony tonight from 7 to 9 on KUAF. And then this afternoon, you will be at the Fayetteville Public Library for community cinema.
Yes, community cinema is a partnership between the Fayetteville Public Library, KUAF, and AETN, in which we screen a documentary film that airs on PBS. It's a screening that you get to see before it airs on AETN. And we screen the film, and then there's expert panelists who join up after on the stage after the screening, and we have a discussion about the film. So it's a really good chance to actually discuss all these ideas that you think of when you're watching the documentary with all sorts of people. This one that is screening this Sunday, this afternoon, is The Island President, and the panelists are Joanna Beth Pollock, who's a sustainability strategist for the Applied Sustainability Center at the University of Arkansas here in Fayetteville, and then
Peter Nierengarten, he's the sustainability guy for the city of Fayetteville.
Yes, he's the director of sustainability and strategic planning for the city of Fayetteville. So they're the panelists, and this documentary is pretty interesting. It's actually called The Island President, and it tells the story of President Mohamed Nasheed of the Maldives. In it.
Well, so then I'm just assuming, since we have sustainability people on the panel, that this has to be some sort of environmentally...
The Maldives, they're at risk of actually losing their entire country because of things going on with sustainability and in our environment. Yeah. So,
okay. All right. Well, that's this afternoon at 2. And again, Sunday Symphony this evening at 7. Thank you, Katie.
Thanks, Christina.
Back in the day, women had their hair done by hairdressers at the beauty parlor, and men went to the barber. Today, highly trained and licensed salon stylists cater to both men and women. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich, who really needed a haircut, decided to subject her locks to a student at a local beauty college to learn more about how they learn their trade.
This is not just any beauty college. This is Paul Mitchell, the school. And this morning, 20 so-called future professionals looking very chic dressed, head to toe in black, warm up. The students scatter to their stations to set up for the day. Some will work on guests by appointment, although walk-ins are welcome. Others, less experienced, practice on mannequins. Everyone's continually monitored by more than a dozen licensed teachers and staff. Director Angie Hoskins says this non-traditional school has operated here for 4 years and conforms curriculum to each student's abilities.
When the students first start, we call them our future professionals. When they first start, they actually go through a little questionnaire to show us how they best learn. Do they learn verbally? Do they learn by visually? Do they learn by doing? Do they need a little music in the background? Do they need that math logic brain where everything's in a sequential order? Once we figure out how they do that, then our lesson plans or our classroom is actually directed to hit every one of those multiple intelligence so that we keep all of our future professionals engaged.
Tiffany Barnett is admissions leader for this school.
Our total tuition is $16,650. That includes your admissions fee, your kit. That is the bottom line. We don't have any hidden costs or fees. And that includes your 1,500 hours to obtain your CA license.
CA license stands for Cosmetology All, hair, skin, and nails. A majority of future professionals are aged 18 to 21, and like any educational institute, financial aid is available in-house, says Director Angie Hoskins.
We offer scholarships to incoming seniors, high school graduates. There's also, Northwest Arkansas is amazing with their single mother scholarship. And we actually can receive that. We actually have several that have done it. We also are a Title IV funded school, which that means is if you qualify, the government does have financial aid for you within Pell Grants, subsidized and unsubsidized loans. So, you know, it makes the 16 a little bit more reasonable or attainable you know, like Tiffany said, we're very different than other schools, but if you look at the other schools around the area, we're actually very comparable in price.
Admissions leader Tiffany Barnett.
Something that's really great about our school is that we do create so many different opportunities. We actually teach a class called The Tree of Opportunities, and that shows them the 52 different career paths that we offer. People sometimes don't realize the options that are available.
Future professionals learn design, cutting, coloring, multicultural techniques, makeup, fashion trends, and the art of hairdressing in a three-phase program.
Within our culture, we believe in creating well-rounded stylists. So they're not only going to have the knowledge to cut, color, chemically alter hair, makeup, but we also just teach them, we teach business classes. We have a new program we're introducing about financial responsibility.
Students also build resumes, conduct mock interviews, research networking opportunities, and work on self-image.
The full course is 1,500 hours. The state of Arkansas requires that many hours to obtain your CA license. So it depends on each individual. It's roughly 10 to 11 months for a full-time student and about 18 to 19 months for a part-time student.
Most graduates end up in traditional salons, either renting a chair in an existing business or launching their own studio. Some may venture into product sales, fashion, or work as a stylist in feature films and television. In 2012, all of the company's schools achieved a 70% placement rate within the industry, Angie Hoskins said. The brand Paul Mitchell was established in 1980 by Scotsman hairstylist Cyril Thompson Mitchell, now deceased, and his partner John Paul DeGioia, the iconic ponytailed American billionaire and philanthropist. 100 Paul Mitchell Advanced Education Schools based out of Provo, Utah, operate across the country and all market John Paul Mitchell Systems product line based in Beverly Hills, California. This school is located in Fayetteville's Northside Shopping District, just west of the mall, attracting students from all over the state, including Leah Conrad from Stuttgart. She's been chosen to be my stylist. We start with a consult,
a good trim,
then a wash. The most relaxing wash ever. So why has Leah chosen this career?
Because of the culture part of it. And I like to make people feel good. And this is, there are other educational stuff that you can do to make people's day a little bit better, but I like the hands-on aspect and I like the science that it goes into and I like the that it's always evolving and there's always something new.
We got to chatting, which is custom at the salon. Ever since she was little, Leah's wanted to be a hairdresser. Her mom encouraged her to attend the U of A first, however, where she studied journalism, then switched to fashion design. But soon she chose to enroll at Paul Mitchell, the school, in the fall of 2012. By August, Leah will be ready to take a state licensing test. She plans to move to Little Rock to pursue her career.
I have some aunts that live in Little Rock, and they've been generous enough to invite me to live with them just to help out my family a little bit, kind of save some money until I get on my feet. And then I hope to, in about 2 years, buy me a house in Little Rock and kind of get my life started and help support my family a little bit more since they supported me through all this. It's all about my family for me.
So the cost for a wash, trim, and style using Paul Mitchell products is an incredible deal, says director Angie Hoskins.
So our haircuts are $12 and $16. We offer a very valuable discount.
$8 for men, but be warned, you are at a school.
So the one thing that you're sacrificing is your time. Our future professionals are a little bit slower than a licensed stylist, and that's just because they're learning, it's in the learning process, and they're still in school. So that's why we offer a service at a valued price, is to compensate you for your time.
And mistakes will be made, although they are referred to as discoveries.
You know what? We've never had anybody walk out and say, I'm never returning. We've never had any catastrophes as far as anything detrimental to, in our discovery family. But that's why we have learning leaders. That's why they're supervised. We give them the confidence. This is one of the most important things in our company, is that our future professionals come first.
Graduation at Paul Mitchell, the school, must be a sight with everyone completely styled. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
We've posted a photo of stylist Leah Conrad and newly trimmed producer Jacqueline Froelich on our news website. And for details about classes, visit paulmitchell.edu and search for Fayetteville.
It is Sunday, April 21st, 2013. This is Weekend Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Callums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
With us is Becca Martin-Brown. She's features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Well, actually, I'm just a talking head speaking for Kevin Kinder, the music writer for What's Up, who has gathered up all of the music festivals going on in the area.
Well, tis the season.
So hang on for the ride. The Fayetteville Roots Festival, August 22nd through 25th, all over downtown Fayetteville. Tickets go on sale May 15th, $199 for a VIP pass or $149 for a three-day pass. Iris DeMent, Del McCurry Band, Jerry Douglas, John Fulbright, you name it, it'll be going on.
It's a favorite here at KUAF.
Yes. And John Fulbright, who wowed so many people in Star Theater last year, will be on the main stage this year. He got nominated for an Emmy and all that.
FayettevilleRoots.com.
For an Emmy?
Grammy. I'm sorry. Yes. I don't know. Maybe he got nominated for an Emmy, too. But a Grammy.
Ooh, it's been that kind of week.
It has. Thank you.
Wakarusa. Mm-hmm. Starts May 30th at Mulberry Mountain. Tickets start at $184. About 100 acts. Widespread Panic, Dispatch, STS9, Snoop Lion, who used to be a dog, but he grew up. You can find out more at wakarusa.com. Thunder on the Mountain.
Country music at the same
venue.
Same place.
Starts June 6th, so I'll see Kevin Kinder for about a day and a half.
Right.
Tickets for that start at $141. Big and Rich, Luke Bryan, Toby Keith, Montgomery Gentry, Justin Moore, Gretchen Wilson, ThunderOnTheMountain.com.
Some pretty good names in country music.
Yeah. Yonder, some headliners there. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yonder Mountain String Band's Harvest Music Festival, October 17th through 19th.
Also on Mulberry Mountain.
No lineup announced yet, but you can check YonderHarvestFestival.com. The Beale Street Music Festival in Memphis is May 3rd through 5th, and that will include the Black Keys, Alice in Chains, Hall & Oates, the Flaming Lips, and Phoenix. Find out more at Ticketmaster.com. Rocklahoma.
That's coming up soon, isn't it?
May 24th through 26th in Pryor, Oklahoma. Headliners include Guns N' Roses, Alice in Chains, Korn, and Cheap Trick.
Okay.
Rocklahoma.com. Riverfest. Same weekend in Little Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Daughtry, Bush, Dierks Bentley, Peter Frampton.
Right.
Something for Everybody. RiverfestArkansas.com. And a new Can Roxas? At the Kansas Speedway in Kansas City. That's
right.
June 28th and 29th. And includes Pretty Lights, the Avett Brothers, and the Yeah Yeah Yes.
Oh.
The Yeah Yeah Yes. They have an album coming out.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
And you can find out more about that at kanrocksas.com. And another new, I believe, festival, Flatlands, September 12th through 14th at the Sporting Park in Kansas City, Kansas. Toby Keith, Luke Bryan, Miranda Lambert, Darius Rucker, and more. And you can find out more about that at flatlandsfestival.com.
Wow. Plus, the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival begins next weekend, I believe.
So see y'all in
November.
September, yeah.
Go. Thank you, Becca.
Becca Martin Brown is features editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers. If you've been out and about and noticed a group of ladies wearing bright red and purple hats, good. They wanted to be noticed. They're most likely members of the Red Hat Society. This Thursday, April 25th, the group will celebrate the day when, 15 years ago, five women got together just to have fun. It has since evolved into an international organization and will hold a convention this week in Atlanta, Georgia, with thousands expected to attend. I spoke with CEO Deborah Gronich and founder Sue Ellen Cooper from their Hat Quarters in Fullerton, California. I asked Sue Ellen how she came up with what she calls a playgroup for women.
By accident, I was out shopping and I found this cool red hat in a thrift store and bought it for no reason at all. And a few months later, when it was my good friend's birthday, I decided to give her that hat and a copy of a famous poem about getting older and wearing red hat so she could hang them on her wall. And before I knew it, I'd given that same gift to about five women. And we decided to put on purple with our hats and go out to tea. And it snowballed like you would not believe from there. We really never looked for publicity. It just, we got, naturally, we did get a lot of attention. And before we knew it, we were sitting on top of something that had just grown up under us.
Well, so you just began to get a lot of attention locally in your town?
Originally, it was a magazine. And you would not believe how it exploded after that. Women just wanted to know how to be part of this. How we went about it. And it was so easy. It was hard for me to realize. It took a while for me to realize that they really needed more direction. I couldn't just tell them, get the clothes and go out. They needed it fleshed out for them. So I started trying to explain it. I started emailing back to people. I realized in a very short order that we had to get some structure here if this was going to keep going.
How did it evolve? I mean, from, you know, just a group of women into now, I mean, you have headquarters. I saw that,
right.
You know, they're headquarters. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, and you have a CEO. I mean, that's.
Yeah, it's kind of this thing. We did everything backwards. We weren't starting out to be this sort of massive undertaking. I knew people who knew people who offered to help. It went until. Then we had to start charging the women for chapters so that we could hire some people to answer the phones. And it's just the kind of thing that never happens except for when it does. And we were one of those times.
As Sue Ellen had mentioned, that we had to, we call ourselves a disorganization for our members, but we here had to be organized to get everything out. So we have a staff of about 25 who are dedicated to living out the mission for our members. And we always like to say that we're serious about fun.
So how many chapters and members do you have now?
Well, we have on total paid members almost over 70,000 at this time, and we're in over 30 countries.
So all over the world, ladies are getting together in their red hats. And so the mission really is, I mean, just have fun.
It's about having fun and making connections, and that's why I always say I'm just so glad to be part of it, because this didn't spring full-blown from anybody's imagination. It evolved.
So it started with women over 50.
Right.
When did you start with the pink hats? When did younger women become a part of it as well?
Very early on, because I began getting emails from people saying, you have so much fun, I don't understand why I can't be in it just because I'm 43 or, you know, whatever number. And some people did say we shouldn't let them, we should stick to only 50 and above. But it seemed to me, if this is about women in general, what better thing than to emphasize the things we all have in common across the generations and the cultures.
Well, right, and different generations can teach
exactly.
Other generations.
I said, all right, let's let them be in it, but let's make them wear paler versions of our colors until they're old enough to graduate, which is what we've come up with. Mm-hmm. You know, graduation is a big milestone when you turn 50 and you turn in your red, your pink and lavender for red and purple. So there's a social reason we're committed to Red Hat is we want to change the traditional notions of aging women.
I also spoke with Queen Cheryl Davis. She started the group, the Sassy Classy Hatters, about 2.5 years ago in Fort Smith. She agrees that being a red hat lady is all about having fun. Fun with women who share common interests. As we age, it becomes harder and harder to meet like-minded people. I asked her what the age 50 means for the group.
When you're becoming mature, coming into your own, those are your golden years. Those are the times when you really want to have those friends, those really loved one and friends around. And you've got time. The kids are up and out of the way. You're not really raising children, or you just have time to do it. For me, that's what it was. I had time. My children were up and away. I love traveling.
I wanted to get people together that like doing the same type thing that I enjoy doing. So my group, travel, that's what we do. Now, other Red Hat groups, they do various things, but we travel.
So you started this group with that in mind, that you just wanted a group of friends to travel with you.
Exactly. I was wanting to travel, and every time I'd want to travel someplace, I thought, oh, it would be so good if I had a group of ladies to do this with me so that, you know, we could stay at different places. We got into the thing of renting vacation homes. So that really made it nice because we could go rent a vacation home, get just tour the city and do it in a group setting. We were safe because we were in a group. We, of course, you always want to take everyone to notice you, so we always go out and have dinner in our red hats and our purple. So that's how we started ours, and we've continued to do it.
What sorts of, where do you go?
We have gone to what's called, on the Gulf Coast, they have a Cruising the Coast. There are all these antique cars, and they come to the Gulf Coast. Down to, at this time it was in Ocean Springs, Mississippi. So we went there. We rented a vacation home, and we went there to cruise the coast with them, and we were there for a week. So we do go different places. We're planning a trip now to Savannah. And most time, we go by car. To us, it's more fun. We're leisurely. We have nothing but time. We don't have to be back by a certain time or be there, so we're a lot more leisurely.
How many women are in your group?
In my particular group, we've got approximately 7 right now. We'll probably be increasing it, but we normally get it so that we've got a good group. Most time, that's what it is. We want it to be a good fit for everybody.
Well, you could just get a group of friends together and just travel without being part of the Red Hat Society. Why be a member of this group? Why, you know, pay dues and be a member of the Red Hat Society?
Red Hat makes it more fun. They have a national, there's a local level. There are national events that they have, and it puts it on a much broader level. If you want to do something national, you can go out of the country. There are Red Hats all over. So they have events all over. If they have the conventions, of various places. So we could get together and go to the convention.
Do you know of other groups in Fort Smith?
Yes, there are. There are several different Red Hat groups that are local. We've just recently had a fashion show, and we invited some of our Red Hat sisters from the area. And in fact, one of the ladies that we featured a lot of her fashions from the Purple Plume, she is the queen of a Red Hat group. So she participated in our show because she wanted to support our Red Hat group. There's also a cancer survivor group that's there. So there are several groups that are in and around the Fort Smith area.
Will you guys get together? Will you gals get together for Red Hat Society Day? I believe it's April 25th.
We plan on doing some type of lunch. We'll probably do something at Furs or one of the restaurants like that. We normally try to make it something that we all can come together in and participate in, something that's economical also. So we will get together and do a luncheon for that.
What is sassy classy? What does that mean for you?
For me, I had, when I was a lot younger, I used to do note cards. And my note cards always had hats on them. I had never, ever planned at that time to be a Red Hatter, but I would always make these note cards for people, and they were thank you notes that I would do, and I would always adorn them with feathers or glitter or rhinestones, and they were just, it was very, just really, you know, real embellished. And I named them Sassy Classy Notes. When I get my group together, I think I'm going to call it the Sassy Classy Hatters, because we want to be just that. We're going to hold ourselves to a really high esteem.
Cheryl Davis is a queen from Fort Smith. I also spoke with Sue Ellen Cooper, founder of the Red Hat Society, and Deborah Granich, CEO of the organization. To join or for more information, visit redhatsociety.com.
And let's continue the hat theme just a little bit further. This morning's montage is devoted to hats, songs about hats, movie characters known for their hats, and just hats in general.
Many people have tried to involve themselves in my affairs, unsuccessfully.
Remarkable. But what does a club secretary have to say?
Oh, nothing, Mr. Bond.
Put it on. It's the only official Beanie Copter. Comes with two copter blades.
Oh, I'm putting on my top hat, tying up my white tie, brushing off my tail. I'm duding up my shirt front.
I want a top hat.
Yeah, sure. Here you are, Sonny.
Hey, you call that a top hat?
His lines are well rehearsed, and if he gets lucky soon, he'll have you believing that he can rope the moon. 'Cause he's all hat and no cattle. He'll break your heart.
When I call your name, you will come forth. I shall place the sorting hat on your head, and you will be sorted into your houses.
I wonder why does everybody look at me and then begin to talk about the Christmas tree. I hope that means that everyone is glad to see the lady in the tutti frutti hat.
Hey, who's got my hat?
Look, I'm Woody. Howdy, howdy, howdy.
If you'd like to see a list of the 11 clips, who we heard, what they were from, you can go to our webpage, ozarksatlarge.com.
An art show and reception featuring the artwork of Dorothy Reif will take place this afternoon from 2 to 6 at 699 Sang Avenue in Fayetteville. For more information, 521-7895. Also this afternoon, the 4th Annual Altrusa Tea and Fashion Show. It begins at 2 and runs until 3:30 at Magnolia Gardens at 501 North Main in Springdale. Tickets can be purchased at the door. For more information, 756-0828.
And also this afternoon, there will be a meeting to explore the possible formation of a Combs Chapel Cemetery Association. That's this afternoon at 2 at the Fayetteville Public Library, located in Southeast Fayetteville. Combs Chapel Cemetery, one of Washington County's oldest graveyards, burials dating back to the 1850s. Among the oldest burials there are members of the Brooks, Broyles, Klein, Collins, Combs, Edmondson, Mays, Moon, Ridley, and Sutton families. If you want more information about that this afternoon, 422-8553. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, Saratoga, Missouri.
Okay, where's that?
That is in McDonald County. It is on Highway 90, and it's roughly halfway between, not as the crow flies, but as Highway 90 winds, halfway between Southwest City and Knoll.
Okay. Is there like a famous Saratoga Springs or something?
Sure, and there's a racetrack called Saratoga.
Okay, yeah. That's what I'm thinking of then.
No racetrack, as far as I know, in Saratoga, Missouri, however.
No, probably not.
Okay.
All right, well, Weekend Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Christina Thomas.
I'm Kyle Kellums. Join Antoinette Grajeda tomorrow at noon for a brand new edition of Daily Ozarks at Large.
And then you'll be back on Tuesday.
Yes, I will.
With Antoinette.
With Antoinette. You and I will be back together on Thursday.
True.
That's right.
Okay, well, until then, have a good Sunday.